Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. I am, again, as always, have to say I'm thrilled to be here today. It's Wednesday, Humpity Hump Day, and believe it or not, it's July 31st. Where has the time gone? It's just flying, and here in New England, I think they've missed summer because we are having more like fall weather than summer weather. Which is really interesting when, you know, when you're gone for most of the month and you come back and it's, you totally missed a whole season. It's something new to me, Amy. Very interesting. So how are you, Amy?
It's busy and now it's kind of winding down a little bit, so that's good. But now I'm looking at the calendar going, oh my goodness.
August 1st.
Who's going to start in 4 weeks?
I know.
Really?
Yep.
But it's going really well. My business is getting pretty busy, which is really good. But I don't get to see much of you these days.
I don't think we see each other at all. I don't even call each other anymore. I got to see you on the road yesterday. Hello? Oh, she must have hit the mute button with her cheek. I do want to give a huge shout out to my Starbucks posses, Zach and Tina and crew. You guys always light up my life after the gym with my medium dark roast extra cream. So love you all. I know you're listening in today. Today's show, the topic is about communication. So I figured we'd wind this fabulous, exciting, adventurous month, at least for me, down with the topic of communication and what does that mean and where are we really lacking? I've noticed throughout my travels across the Eastern Seaboard and work with clients that communication seems to have changed. People are more, they communicate more via text or email or non-verbal, non-emotional ways than people do actually just picking up the phone and saying, hey, or Skype. I love Skype because you get to see somebody and see their expressions and have that interaction, which I think humans need. Amy, are you there or did you?
Yeah, I'm here. I have these spots in my house that I have to be aware of. Recently, actually, is a new thing with AT&T recently. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Back to communication.
It's funny that you say a change because that's exactly where my head was heading toward is the change in communication.
Yeah.
That's what I'm noticing significantly in, you know, the holistic health world is people are changing and our communication seems to be lost right now between people and, like you said, with the technological age that we're in and all these tools we have to communicate, I'm not thinking it's better form of communication. I think, like you said, the human needs to see expression, needs to feel energy of that person. There's energy that's associated with emotion and communication, and that's lacking in the texting and that kind of world and email. And it takes the energy and the personality out of communication.
Absolutely. And I think relationships dissolve with communication, whether it's personal relationships or business relationships. You have to have communication, but you know, let's dig a little deeper on communication. What does that mean to you as an individual and as an employee and as a mother, you know, an employer, employee, business person, and as a mother? What does communication mean to you now versus, you know, 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, huge difference. Huge difference because the way I wanted to communicate, say, 15 years ago, was I wanted to be heard, period. And that's how a lot of young people are. That's why people yell at each other or raise their voice or have a tone, as I would call it, is because they want to be heard. Now I've learned to listen a little bit better, and that's a more effective communication tool, to listen than to talk at people.
Okay, fair enough. So as I was doing some research, some of the things that I wanted to, you know, delve into, I know that there are individuals that wanted to call into the show, so I want to make sure I get the number out. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to delve into some types of communication. So feel free to chime in. I'm always interested in your perspective. As you know, the show is for you, by you, and because of you, and I'm just grateful to be the messenger. The number here is 347-205-9443, and I'm all alone in the chat room, so chat away, guys. I can see you online. So communication, to me, is not just about listening, but it's also about asking questions, being clear, being concise. I think in our fast-paced world, we tend to, and I'm just as guilty about it, and for those of you who frequently text me, I'm always complaining about damn autocorrect, and sometimes it's just damn going too fast, Rusty, you're going too fast. Too many things going on. And that also impacts communication, and through my journeys, my travels this month, I've really, really noticed a lot about myself, and you can only change yourself and what you do, but I've noticed how the lack of communication also causes assumptions on other people's parts, which is an issue, you know. So if you're not communicating and you're not clear and concise, then your mind leads into this other place, and you're making assumptions. So that's another piece of communication that I'm hoping that we can delve into. What else can you?
Well, just like you actually went into where I was hoping it was going to head to, because that seems to be a lot happening, especially with social media. You know, people take words that you type a little bit differently than, say, they would if you were to say it, you know, if you were communicating face-to-face.
Right.
You know, and like you said, the lack of communication is very, I'm really glad you brought that up, because the lack of communication does cause people's mind to wander and to assume situations that aren't even there, instead of asking someone right out straight, you know, is this bothering you, or, you know, or anything. Like I had a recent experience with somebody that assumed that I was mad at them because I had not gotten right back to them right when they expected me to. I wasn't even in this part of the country.
Right.
And I didn't see the email, so I respond. And you know, this person wound themselves up for an entire week that I was gone. But if she had actually read the email that I had sent out stating I was not going to be available during this time period and I will be back, we wouldn't have gone through that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you said that they read into it, she totally read into that I was mad at her for some reason, and then it was, oh, well, I must have done something to upset her because she's not getting right back to me.
Right.
And that's not the situation. I was on a plane, and I wasn't able to communicate and have my computer with me. So there was no way that I could have responded to her. And that kind of upset me, because I don't want anybody in my life to feel that way, you know. So then I start going, oh, well, maybe if I was able to check my messages, you know, and then you go into that hole.
You got to stop that movie, Amy, because you're breaking up, hon.
I'm still in the same spot. Can you hear me now?
No, better.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a great example of communication, lack of communication, and whether the communication was clear and concise. I think that has a lot to do with how effective and successful we are as individuals in our relationships and maintaining our relationships, in the sense of how clear and concise we are. But then falling backwards a little bit on that statement, kind of talking out both cheeks, it's also listening and how effective you are as a listener. So I think for the most part, individuals at this point in time are so inundated with so much stimulation. Mm-hmm. There's so much coming at you, and you have a lot going on in your mind that you're only able to hear part of the communication anyway. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
So when you're only focusing on part of that communication, where do you draw the line as far as understanding? Because I can be as clear as and concise, and at times I have been told that I come across obtuse because I'm just blatantly to the point. But if you're not listening to the information, then you're not getting the full communication anyway. So, you know, it's almost like a dog chasing its tail. How do we communicate better? How do we become more successful and beneficial in our day-to-day lives by communicating better? Mm-hmm. But we also have this issue of being overstimulated with all of these other, you're not able to be 100%. I think that's the key. What do you think?
Right. Well, I understand what you're saying, because I'm actually going through that right now, where one thing that I found that needs to be done, and it's the hard part of the communication part, is accepting the fact there are people going to come and go from your life as you evolve, as they evolve. And that gets back to the having so much coming at you. In other words, without a lack of a better statement, pick your battles. I don't like to look at them as battles anymore, but definitely there are some things that we don't have any control of, like perception of what you're trying to communicate. You may be trying to communicate something completely different than what that person perceives.
Exactly.
And you don't have any responsibility of that perception, really, because there's so many other things that can affect the perception. So that is a huge problem with communication, because it's not really in our control, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, and it's an interesting topic, and we could go around in circles about, you know, whether or not our tone, our voice, our language, how clear, concise, and coherent we are. But, you know, as I was doing research on the internet, I stumbled across quite a few articles that were talking about basically dumbing down your communication, making it very simple.
Yep.
And I was offended. I was very offended. We are so overstimulated and quick to respond something 20% versus waiting and giving 80% or 100%. And in order to combat the overstimulation, we just have to dumb everything down.
Well, it's not really, in what I'm experiencing, it's not really dumbing down, but there are certain situations that are really out of our control because of the perception piece. And those are the ones that you just gently, like, if you have someone that takes something that you say or communicate in a completely wrong way, you just gently try to explain, this is my perception, but that doesn't mean it's going to work for you, or, you know, that you're going to understand that. That's just the way, you know, I'm communicating that. And that's where things tend to go wrong in communication. What I've been trying to do, and I tell my clients to do, is before you respond, sit, give yourself at least 5 minutes before you respond, like to an email or a text, or, you know, if it's something that, you know, kind of triggers something, think about it for a minute. Think about where they're coming from their perspective before you you decipher what it means. You know what I mean? Take a moment to mull it over, so to speak. So maybe that could be about the gumming down. It's just kind of slowing down. And, you know, it's not necessarily going to mean like you have to get rid of people or business associates out of your life to free up time. Just how you react to things is, I think, a key factor.
Right. So I don't know if it's Skype or if it's you, so I'm going to dial in on the landline. For whatever reason, I can use the Skype feature anywhere in the country but here. So I'm going to dial in on the landline. We're going to go to a quick break. The number here is 347-205-9443. Call in. Talk to us about your communication issues or thoughts or quandaries, as I like to call it. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to switch phones and be right back. All right, I'm back.
All right.
All right, much better. Oops. I'm a happy button pusher over here.
You're a happy button pusher today.
I am a happy button pusher today. So, you know, and one of the things that I hear often are comments in regards to emails and text messages and I think you're very right in regards to taking a few minutes to respond, but I can also defend people who quickly respond. You know, if you were to look at all 7 of my emails, which the month of August is when I'm consolidating those emails, so and getting rid of some because it's crazy.
Okay.
You know, there's hundreds of emails in each one of them, and I have to factory plow through them, you know, as though they're conveyor belts. And I think humanistically, my preference is to at least give you something, some sort of acknowledgement, some sort of response. And what I've started to do is for those who I need to respond to, I will get to your email shortly or just something nice to say, hey, you know, here's your email. I've got your response. I'm going to find out whatever it is that I need to find out for you. And I'll get back to you. Just an acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
Text messaging. It's crazy how many texts I get and from all over the world. So, and sometimes what I also find with this new cyber living is that individuals, if they're not immediately responded to, they panic. They absolutely panic. Oh, you're not talking to me is one fear-based panic. The other one I get often is, are you okay? Did something happen?
Right.
I'm in a meeting. I'm really sorry. Like, you know, with texting and some of the texting tools, there's not an autoresponder like you could have with your email that says, I'll be right back. I'm in a meeting. You know, that would be nice. So it's a nice feature. Boy, we could make millions off of that one.
Don't put that out there too far. Hey, we're working on that.
That's right. Work on it. So, you know, communication's key. And I think in a lot of ways we've lost the skill to communicate because we're partial. We're just partial beings at this point when it comes to being human. I think we're very partial.
Well, you know, like I've noticed with children especially, they're not taught to write letters and send letters to each other. Remember when we were kids, we had pen pals.
Oh, yeah.
We could communicate and write a letter, and what a joy it was when I was a child to write to, you know, a friend in another country and learn, you know, about them through letter writing and things. Yes, Skype is wonderful for people, like when my daughter didn't live close by and she lived in Utah, to be able to see her face and hear her voice that way was really comforting to me. But on the other hand, I don't even know if my younger daughters have ever written anyone a letter. Do you know what I mean? And I think about that, and I'm like, you know, that's only 20 years ago, you know, that we're talking. And
Shush, only 10. Come on now.
That's for me, Rusty.
Oh, okay. I haven't, you know, embraced that part.
I don't mind sharing my age.
I'm not embracing it yet.
Okay. And you're younger than me, just saying.
No, but, you know, even thank you notes, like, it's not a thought anymore to write a thank you note and mail it or stamps. I was watching some kids at an office yesterday, and they were literally stamping themselves. and I was laughing. I'm like, are we mailing you to Singapore? Like, do you know what these are for? No. Don't you just email?
And let me know if that works, because that's the best way to travel. No.
That's right. Wrap you up.
Yeah. I feel there's some good and bad to the new technology, because definitely you and I as businesswomen, the convenience of some of the tools is just amazing. And like this radio show, how many people would we not reach if we didn't have this tech? You know, this
exactly.
You know, radio, internet, you know, iPhone type things. And, you know, when they say your life's in your iPhone, it's not far from the truth. Luckily, I've learned to keep a written book as well, because sometimes those iPhones fail. And if everything in your appointment book is in there, it can cause havoc in your professional life. and, you know, that's why I think that I really would like to see more of the schools getting into writing more, again, because I'm not seeing that type of communication encouraged. You know, play acting, that's another way, charades. Do you see kids playing charades anymore?
only when they're with me, because you know how much,
right.
You know, in
but
unique
I mean,
situations,
overall,
yeah.
Children, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. That's a form of communication. That's a way of expressing how you express an object or something you're trying to describe and getting someone to understand what you're doing without using words. I like to do that with Girl Scouts a lot.
Yeah. So for me, I actually have two forms of calendars, and they're all linked together, which I love, and that's technology. You know, technology is a beautiful thing if used wisely, but we become very codependent on it. It's very much this incredible crutch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, imagine going for an hour drive without your cell phone.
I do it all the time on purpose, and it's not. In the beginning, it wasn't easy. Actually, I was very uncomfortable with it.
But
now I do it on purpose.
For the most part, that would cause anxiety for people. What happened, you know, and I love the excuse, and because these are excuses that I've made myself, folks, so it's not a criticism or a judgment. This is purely from experience and catching myself losing my own human nature.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if I have a flat? That was one of my excuses. And not excuse as in I intentionally had this thought, I'm going to make an excuse as to why I can't be without my cell phone. It was, I'm already on the road, and oh my God, I don't have my cell phone. What happens?
Mm.
10 years ago, what would happen? You get out of your car, you lock your car, you walk, you know,
yeah.
To a phone. But back then, there were pay phones. Now those are gone. They're pretty much obsolete.
Right. Yeah, I don't see them. Sometimes in the cities you might see them, you know.
Yep.
But it's rare.
They're still in the South. I don't know if they're working, but, you know, Chloe, mm-hmm. I did point them out to Chloe a couple of times, and she's like, oh, wow. Yes.
It's like the little drive-in little speakers are still there, but
yeah.
You're actually tuning in on your radio. But I think
right. It's
cool that they left them there because the kids are like, what's this? I'm like, that's a speaker. You used to put that in your window.
For nostalgia purposes, right?
It just goes to show you, even the drive-ins evolve.
Exactly. Everything's
you know?
Evolving. But yes. But it's evolving at a cost, and I guess that's the whole point of today's show. So definitely peep in. We've got about 30 more minutes, and the number here is 347-205-9443, and you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
And I'm Amy.
And today's topic is communication. How to improve, how to acknowledge, how to recognize, how to become more human in a less-than-human world, and an extremely distracted world as well. It's quite interesting. My mom actually reprimanded me. Now, mind you, I'm pushing 40, folks, but my mom still grounds me. We went away to Peaks Island last weekend, I believe, and my uncle Frank, who I haven't seen in probably 12 years, and I are sitting next to each other, and we're actually on our iPhone. I'm responding to people all over the world. This is my job. This is what I do. I'm making appointments. I'm setting up this. I'm setting up that. And she got so angry with me because we were sitting there as a group on the island getting ready to have dinner. But, you know, the waitress hadn't even come yet. Everybody's chit-chatting. My phone's going off. My Uncle Frank's phone's going off. So Uncle Frank and I got grounded. Because we were at the table with our phones. And that's an easy thing to do. It's an easy slip to make. You don't recognize until somebody points it out.
Mm-hmm.
But we're constantly, at least I am, constantly connected. And that's not a good thing because I could have, you know, I haven't seen my Uncle Frank in 12 years. Love him to death. He's a great guy. I'm sitting right next to him, didn't even have a conversation with him. Not until after I got grounded.
Oh. Well, you know, that's funny because, like, when we go camping, we don't, AT&T, I don't have service. So we've gotten used to the fact that we don't have a cell phone. Well, my husband's work had switched service, and his cell phone worked there. But even though I love the disconnection, like I don't bring my computer or anything, even though they have a Wi-Fi spot, I just refuse. I will not bring it. But
right.
I can, you know, respond to emails through my phone and whatever. But I go check it a couple of times, but he had communication. Well, I happened to get in an accident while we were, you know, on vacation, me and my girlfriend, two cars with six kids. And I was really grateful that his cell phone worked. Otherwise, I would have had to call the campground to get a message to him, you know. So in some cases, like you were talking about, oh, my goodness, you know, what if I get a flat? You
right.
know, I think about this now where I didn't before. If I didn't have either my cell phone with me or he didn't have one that worked, the communication could have caused a problem, me getting in touch with him and letting him know what was going on.
Would it have caused, but that's where I pull back and say, go back into, you know, our ancestry and our roots and the thousands
mm-hmm.
and thousands of years where we didn't even have flushing toilets.
Exactly.
Is it really going to cause a problem or an inconvenience? So, you know, this is back to changing the way you think and how you express yourself and communication and being concise. I just think it's interesting because people
have it, and that's what I was
exactly.
Even me that loves the disconnection, I still got sucked back into that way of thinking very
right.
quickly.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, that's not how I wanted to think about it. You know what I mean? But it's so easy to get sucked into that because we are creatures of habit and, you know, what we're used to. you know, and that's what we're used to being, that instant gratification. A lot of the things that we talk about on the show comes back to that one thing, is instant gratification. That's what we want.
Well, it's, you know, I think of it as this struggle between being human and having human needs, and
mm-hmm.
and developing this codependency, almost like a cyborg, you know, for my sci-fi
mm-hmm.
junkies out there, we're all becoming cyborgs, really,
mm-hmm.
because we are so codependent on technology. It's really becoming, I think, the next drug.
Yeah, they've talked about, I've heard some lectures and documentaries talk about that type of thing that you're talking about, it, of it being a force of control over
right.
ourselves. And that, you know, and that is a concern.
I went on a date, and it was funny because we were having this conversation, and we literally looked around the restaurant, and 80% of the people, couples, husbands, wives, girlfriend, boyfriends, whatever, it doesn't matter the legal status
mm-hmm.
of the partnership,
mm-hmm.
80% were texting on their phone. And I just admitted that I'm guilty at the dinner table doing
mm-hmm.
that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
again, not a judgment
yeah.
or criticism. But even when you have one-on-one relationships, it seems to be such a part of communication. And I think it really is taking away from communication, because here is this non-emotional, non-human, non-sensory communication coming to you. They're just words
yep.
versus having a face-to-face conversation. I really think it's putting
it
us back in the cave
time. You're talking to someone about a sensitive subject, okay?
Right.
How better or effectively would this communication go is if you were texting someone, or if you were able to look at that someone in their eyes, maybe even put your hand on top of their hand, so they can feel an emotion. They may take whatever you're saying. It could be exactly the same words that you would text or what you would say to their face. But I think that the perception of those words are going to be different when you include a human emotion.
Well, I also think that we are becoming less emotional, less
mm-hmm.
compassionate, less connected on that human, touchy-feely, lovey, kissy. So you have a meeting
mm-hmm.
with somebody, and it's very Charlie Brown-like. I've
mm-hmm.
noticed that people's demeanors and characteristics and excitability, whether it's a negative excitement or a positive excitement, that's changed.
Mm-hmm.
People are becoming a little bit more monotone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Charlie Brown's parent. Blah,
yeah.
blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Blah, blah, blah. I'll never forget that, because it's exactly, if you think about what he's trying to portray in that, is that kids really don't hear what that parent, even though we're trying to communicate with the child, their mind is in such a simple, pure state that all that stuff, that's what it sounds like to them.
Well, and bigger than that, as parents, I mean, you have four, I have my one, and I have really come to this understanding that generation is really being neglected from the teachings of our human emotional capacities. Because we as parents, and you and I are incredibly busy women, we already are distracted from being role models. Mm-hmm. Now we're taking away even more because we're laughing at our text. Somebody sent me a joke yesterday. I started laughing. Chloe's like, what are you laughing about? I was like, oh, somebody sent me a joke. And she goes, oh, can I hear it? I'm like, no, it's an adult joke. But you know mm-hmm. what I mean? But there's this mm-hmm. there's this disconnect as parents as well. And I wonder right. if the evolution of this generation, they're going to be less emotional. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, and I'm not even sure if less emotional and more desensitized, because...
Isn't that one and the same?
It can be. Desensitization is more of a blockage of an emotion more than a loss of it. Does that make sense?
But if they don't know...
Like not taught, not learned, not a learned emotion. There are emotions that are learned emotions, and they're getting more of the negative learned emotions than the positive learned emotions. Does that make sense? Like the touching of the hand when you talk to or looking someone in the eye. That's an emotional form of communication.
But
we're not getting that.
Just for philosophical argumentative purposes, because mm-hmm. I have my Cheshire grin on.
I felt it coming.
If they don't know that they have that muscle, because mm-hmm. we don't teach them, which is our job as elder humans, then they're not going to be able to use it anyway. So
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say it's desensitized. It's just unlearned, untrained.
Right. Well, that's what desensitized can mean, is unlearned behavior.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, they're not responsible because they don't know any better.
Desensitized would imply that you knew, but... you've just become numb to. That's all.
Well, maybe that's the adult version.
The adult version. So
that's
actually
happening in the adult world.
So I have a question from DC. We'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
We're going to switch this up a little bit in regards to intimacy. And this is something that I find extremely extremely interesting and provocative, because I am online all the time and I have lots of friends. I have a friend in Switzerland who I just adore, but we text all the time. So taking that further, and we actually talk on the phone too and Skype, so our relationships kind of balance that way, but dating sites, when you're on dating sites, this has been really, really interesting for those of us who are single. I know you haven't experienced dating sites yet, Amy, but...
And probably never will.
Never will. But, you know, there's this incredible valley
mm-hmm.
of human versus human intimacy, and how some people portray themselves online or via text, but when you're with them in a human capacity, they're very different people. I've
right.
experienced
and that.
That
I can imagine. I've heard others speak of that too, and I have a lot of clients that, you know, are playing the dating game, and it's very different from when I was dating, and I
hugely different.
I am so blessed that I don't have to go through this, because I would not do well.
But the interesting part is, you know, is it possible to have this quasi-cerebral, non-emotional, non-physical relationship with a stranger, develop this relationship? Now, I mean, I hear it all the time. Oh, yeah, we met online and we're getting married next week. It's, wow. You know, did you really spend quality time with this person? Oh, no, we have this, you know, we've had this pen pal relationship for 3 years. I wonder if you truly can develop true intimacy with somebody, or are you only seeing the parts of that person that they want you to see, which is my experience, and that's why I got off the dating sites.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I've seen some strong relationships come out of that route, but I can't say that it was because of their relationship that they had online, but the relationship they built after they met. Now,
right.
You know what I mean? The ones that are successful are the ones that actually took the time to meet and do it the right way. But I'm not, you know, because I'm not saying that it's totally wrong to do it that way, because people like yourself are very busy and most of your work is very, you know, one-on-one based. You need that kind of outlet to be able to meet people, because you don't have time to go out and meet them like we used to meet them. You know what I'm saying? That you're just busy. And there's a lot of business people that I've talked to in my travels this summer as well that, you know, they talk about the same thing. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but like you said, you can so totally make yourself the way you want that person to see you. And when you actually get to know them personally, it may not be that person that you
that they led you to
fell
be
in love with online.
Right.
So that can be a big problem.
So, you know, taking it one step further, in its entirety, intimacy, I don't see how that form of communication could ever really be an intimate form of communication inside
it's
the
rare.
Box.
It's
inside
rare.
Inside the box.
And I don't, as far as intimacy is concerned, I don't see how it can be classified as intimate. But like I said, the ones that have been successful are the ones that actually
they met and then they grew
outside of it. Yeah.
Right. They've gone outside the box.
Exactly.
But it's an interesting process, the way we're communicating as a group, as a species now. You know, mm-hmm. back in the day, if you were a little introverted or a little shy or, you know, it was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
It was lonely for people who had a little bit more of a difficult time coming out into public.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have no problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do have friends that are very shy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a way for them to, you know, have some form of human connection.
Mm-hmm.
But then as a person I am, who is very huggy, feely, touchy, kissy, want to
mm-hmm.
jump in the mud and hold hands and human, I caution my shy friends from solely thriving in an environment that is
mm-hmm.
not emotional, not
right.
completely real. Does that make sense?
Yes, because you can start going into a false reality.
Right.
Because if you create a false you, then you're dealing in a false reality. And then it's almost like lying. You know what I mean? Like you have to keep making, you know, building on that to keep it going. And that can be stressful subconsciously without you even being aware of it. And, you know, I just think there's, for instance, Facebook, okay? Facebook is a great social media in a lot of different ways, but there's a lot of different ways that it causes a lot of problems. The perception is one thing. The other is being able to use it as a sound-off for your political or religious views, you know, sensitive, you know, issues that everyone's entitled to their own belief system in those arenas. And then they start, you know, bashing those that don't believe the same. I, you know, that part of it gets really, I've had to unfortunately remove people from my site because I'm a businesswoman and I can't have vulgar language and, you know, that kind of thing going on my page. And then they
right.
take it wrong because they think I don't like them anymore. No, it's not that I don't like you or I don't want to be friends with you. I'm taking a neutral position on that topic, and
right.
I'm not displaying it on my page. And they don't understand the difference between that. You know what I mean? So that lack of communication, being able to, you know, choose what you have on your page, you know, people take offense if you don't.
We're kind of running out of time, but, you know, you brought up something that was really valuable, and it's always been something that I snicker at because, mm-hmm. and you know how my, you've known me for a long time, Amy,
mm-hmm.
and you know how my mind is, you know, 500 feet forward and constantly
mm-hmm.
going. So you have these, you're a businesswoman, you,
mm-hmm.
I am as well, and you have individuals in your fan base, your
mm-hmm.
friend base,
mm-hmm.
Family base that are opinionated. Amen.
Exactly.
God bless them. That's
yep.
wonderful. I'm
I have
glad
no problem
that,
with it.
You know, that's great. What I find interesting about this duality, this like cyborg construct that we're evolving towards, is if you have an opinion at a dinner table or at a restaurant and you're with your coworkers, you're allowed to have those opinions. But if you post it on a social media piece,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, you get fired. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes.
Why is there, it's okay to say things behind closed doors, but it's not okay. So, you know, my mind's always thinking, but I just think that's interesting. And then we have to self-censor instead of appreciating and embracing the freedom of speech. We have to self-censor
our own
pages. Which
I do most of the time. But when you know, there's times where you're like, ooh. Because it's not, there is just some things that
I know.
it's not appropriate. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Those are the ones. Because I encourage people to, like, for instance, if you're posting on your page, you should be able to post whatever you want on your page.
Whatever
it's
you
your
want.
Page.
Don't post on my page, whatever you want.
And I put an email, you know, I've had to do this on a couple occasions where I just put it out there, you know, I usually tend to block their news feed, not block them as a friend, because I just don't want to see their stuff
right.
all the time. And you got people also that post 14, because we're business people, you know, they're posting 19 things in that one day, and you get notified on all of them.
Right. I took my notification off. I just check every now and then.
Well, yes, but I'm saying it's just, you know, there are situations that are completely different than what people are taking them. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not telling them they can't have their opinion or their opinion's wrong. You know, I may not agree with some people. I'm not going to agree with everyone, nor is everyone going to agree with me. And that's okay. I have no problems with that. Just, you know, be sensitive to your language, because not everybody likes, you know.
To hear expletives, right.
But yeah, potty mouth or pirate mouth, whatever you want to call it.
Arg. Arg.
You know. Arg.
Arg. So yeah, I think this whole culture that we're feeding into and becoming part of is really interesting, and I think everybody should kind of step back and find your human again. Find your human side. You don't necessarily have to turn off, which isn't going to kill you if you do. But find your human side. Find and embrace that touch and smell and laughter. And
it's okay to disconnect once in a while.
Oh, absolutely. You need to.
You know, you do need to. And that's, you know, like I like to, that's why I love hiking so much, because there is a disconnection. You know, I don't take my phone when I go hiking. Not small, big hikes I would, just for the, you know, the safety of it all. But most of the time you can't get a signal anyway. You know, I like being disconnected, but I just think that, you know, this, you brought up some interesting, you know, scenarios as far as, you know, on the dating scene and things like that, because I think that's where it's hitting it the hardest.
The cyber communities
mm-hmm.
are, so in Fort Myers, we are at this wonderful place. And I, you know how I talk to everybody. I'm just
mm-hmm.
a social girl. And I'm talking to this young lady. She's 19. And I was like, oh, so where did you meet your boyfriends? And she goes, I met him on an online gaming site. And I hear this all the time. I have friends that are gamers, and I just don't have time, or I probably would. I used to enjoy, you know, video games, but I just don't have time. But evidently, these new video games are now kind of Facebook-y.
Really?
Yeah. You can connect with strangers all over the world playing video games and actually develop relationships. And I've actually met individuals who have gotten married because of their gaming persona.
Addiction.
right, whatever. Like, but they met through the game, and they never actually physically met or saw true pictures of the other person. You know, nothing that you and I would qualify or quantify as starting a budding relationship. But she's 19.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scratching my head going, oh my God. And I look at my daughter, I'm like, how are you going to date?
What's
is it going to be like George Jetson's little capsules that pop out of the...
yeah. Well,
wow.
Heck, we've hit the land of the lost time period with our healing rocks and things and things that, you know, it's funny that these programs that we watch as kids, we're watching them evolve into reality now. It's so funny because we are very close to the George Jetson time. We're very close to that. Our technology is leaping and bounding, and it's just going to leap and bound more. And before you know it, we are going to be popping out of the pots in each other's houses, which would be really cool because I'd love to just, you know, pop up in Tibet or pop up in Switzerland. That would be really fun.
Yeah, my friend in Switzerland would like it if I could just pop over too, but probably not in my lifetime. So we have about 6 minutes left because I want to get to next month's lineup. It's so exciting, next month's lineup. DC has actually put it very well. He's communicated very well exactly what I am trying to dig at and get people to think about. So he says, so an email correspondence, intended tone versus perceived tone, misinterpreted all the time. And that is a huge, 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 huge thing that I constantly tell people. They're just words. It is not human. There is no emotional context to the words that are coming across your phone. You cannot take it emotional. It is machine. And individuals that are sensitive tend to react either good or bad in an we see it as an emotional thing, which is part of the addictive piece that I was trying to point out earlier, because now we're relating to a machine and something that does not have any emotional
has no vibration
drive.
Either, so it's hard
no
for
exactly but we're relating to it as though we would relate to another person. See the addiction. He furthermore states, so in texting, an instantaneous back-and-forth volley, which we all do, that same misperception can be applied to intimacy, and it's immediate during a fast-paced text conversation. If that same misinterpretation happens, it can instantly change the discourse from one perspective, whereas in real conversation, it's easier to realize and see that something was misunderstood. Well put, DC.
Very well. Thank you. That's what I think I was trying to get at a little bit with the perception piece. A lot of it, our miscommunication, is the perception of it, and the technology does get in the way of that. Because, as you stated, there's no emotion. There's no human side to the communication.
Right. There's no human side, and we are falling into this trap of relying solely on nonverbal, non-emotional communications. And that's where we are starting to lose
and the overstimulation. I was at somebody's house with my children, and my children, I we don't have the TV on much. We do have cable, and we do watch television, you know, mostly at night getting, you know, wound down for bed. But I don't allow them to keep their TV on at all in their room. In fact, I wish they didn't even have one in their room, but that's not my sole decision. But they were sitting there playing a game. My children know how to entertain themselves. So yes. When we first went down into the playroom, which is my, you know, the new playroom where they were going, they just immediately found a game and sat down and started to play it. Well, an automatic, another person comes into the room and turns on the TV. And I'm just standing there, and I looked at him, and I said, why did you do that? Well, the girls want to watch TV. I said, seriously? They're playing a game. They're not paying any attention to whatever you put on that television.
Right.
But it's so instantaneous with this family to do that, to just turn on the TV when a kid is in a room, and I'm like, you can shut that off. And he looked at me like I was strange. And I
right.
said, you can shut it off. And he shut it off, and he just sat there. He didn't know what to do, you know. And I was like, wow, and my kids are playing happily. You know, but he was lost without that television on, and that that's kind of concerning. But my kids were like totally oblivious; they could have cared less if that TV was on.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, and I think you and I have raised our kids in a different way than mm-hmm. what's customary now. But to be the bearer of bad news to all of the listeners out there, we are winding down. We've got like 2 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left, and I really wanted to get to the August lineup because I am just tickled pink. So one of my dear friends, local, she is fabulous redhead. You know, my thing for keeping all of us redheads together because we're so few. Mm-hmm. Sarah Hart, who is not only a
Yay.
Local shaman. I know, I love her. You just want to hug and squeeze her. She's so sweet. She's a local shaman. She's also a special education teacher, and she also works at a healing center. And I'm not going to give too much away, but how long have I been after her to come on the show?
Since we started?
Since I've started. Yeah.
Yeah, because I've known Sarah, and she was one of the first people I asked to be a guest.
Yeah.
One of the first people. Yeah.
So she's going to be on next week, so I'm really excited.
I'm so proud of her.
She's so wonderful, and just I think everybody's going to enjoy hearing her story. And then the week after, I met a fella probably about a year and a half ago, and he has an inspirational story. He definitely makes his mother proud. He brought me to tears. I was at a cancer benefit last spring, and Bill, and I'm going to botch his name, but you guys will have to tune in, Bill Diaw. Dadgio, whatever, something, of Annie's Angels will be on. And he actually has, here on the seacoast, developed an organization that helps fund people who are severely ill and cannot afford to pay their bills.
That's so awesome.
And he's just wonderful. He did own a sub shop and closed it so that he could really focus on Annie's Angels. And then Stephanie Marianne's going to be on at the end of the month. She's fabulous. And Amy, I have Ty of I God Mind coming on. He's going to be our last Wednesday of the month, and that's going to be an exciting show to really talk about all of the work that he's been doing for a few years in regards to subliminal messaging. And he's manufacturing something specifically for Good Morning America or something. I don't know.
Yes.
He's going to tell us all about it. So this month is proving to be incredible. And as always, I love you. I am so grateful that you get to walk this path with me, and we get to learn about all these wonderful people and all of the great things they're doing in this world, because it is a beautiful place, and there's so much positive that can come to you, for you, around you, and through you. So keep it going, and let's try to communicate more human-like, and you know, don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call and say hello instead of sending a text message. Until next week, my heart so sad watching the timer go down. It's my favorite day of the week. Just know that I love you. I think you're beautiful. You're amazing to me. And keep those emails coming in. And, hey, call. That would be nice. Until next time, you're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty.
I'm Amy.
Take care.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.